my name is Terry Telford from terrytelford.com, and we've got two of the Internet's premier entrepreneurs with us tonight. We have Jeremy Gislason and Simon Hodgkinson, and we're going to try and get as much information out of these guys in about the next 60 to 90 minutes as we can about setting up million-dollar membership websites. Now, these two guys just keep pumping them out. They turned out basically membership websites together, as well as having a list of products on their own and projects that they work on basically on their own as well. But like I was mentioning a few minutes ago, I think it was back, if I'm not mistaken, it was June of 2007, where one of their membership websites generated $1.7 million. That's U.S. dollars. $1.7 million in 10 days. I mean, that is absolutely, absolutely phenomenal. So probably a lot of people are wondering, really basically, how in the world you pulled that off. And what we're going to do is really go into depth about that website, which was the MarketingMainEvent3.com project. And what we want to do is look at everything from the brainstorming and the pre-launch right through the launch, post-launch, and moving into really how the new software has then become MemberSpeed, which is the software that's available for us today. And we also have a very, very special gift for everybody on the call, but we're going to get into that in just a few minutes. I think the first of all, I'd like to thank you guys, both of you, for being here today and taking the time to really explain in depth what you guys did to generate $1.7 million in 10 days. So thanks very much for being here on the call today, guys.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's great. I mean, I think everybody listening to the call tonight is either one of our MME3 Fast Action Bonus owners or one of the MemberSpeed Project Destiny people. And we're just really glad that there's so many people on the call tonight, because we've got an awful lot of information that we want to share with people, and we've been looking forward to this for a while now.
Awesome. Okay, I guess right straight off, kind of right out of the gate, I'm sure people are completely curious about how you guys were able to establish really a massive business success together while basically being virtual business partners. How did you end up coming together?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I tell people offline that my business partner's, you know, sort of thousands of miles away, and we've only ever met on one occasion, just people just look at you in sort of like open mouth disbelief. I mean, I think it proves more than anything that, you know, thanks to the internet and things like Skype and email, it's possible you can just develop partnerships and work with basically anybody anywhere in the world today. I mean, Jeremy and I, you know, as I was saying, it's like London to Tokyo is 6,000 miles, and, you know, we have an 8-9 hour time difference, but it just doesn't matter. I mean, I think our relationship on a whole works so well because we complement each other's skills. I mean, I'm not going to tell you all the great things about Jeremy on the call here, because it's only just going to inflate his ego. I mean, but I think most importantly is that we think very much alike on a lot of things. We share a lot of views and opinions, so that makes it easy for us to work together. And when you have a good working relationship like that, it overcomes sort of, you know, time differences and mileage differences, if you will. I mean, before we met and started working together, we were both pretty successful online. And I think, I mean, that's important for people listening here to understand it's how much more successful we've become by working together. You know, we've been able to accomplish an awful lot more in a much shorter space of time than we could have ever sort of done on our own, I think. I mean, for example, going back, I know we're going to be talking about MME3, but going back to MME1, you know, June 2005, I mean, we put that site together from scratch in less than 6 weeks. You know, we got it done, we got it promoted, we got it finished, and we got it sold, you know, in 7 weeks total. And I mean, that site made around $160,000. So together, I think individually we couldn't have done that at the time. I mean, Jeremy brings a lot of organisational skills to the table, shall we say, and I sort of I needed the organisation. But I mean, that said, I mean, it took us 12 months to put MME Free together. I mean, I'm not going to kid anybody listening to this that you could go away and build a site like MME Free in you know, 6 weeks. It just wouldn't be possible to do. But what I would say is that I don't think anybody could create a site like MME Free on their own, you know, and if they could, it would be years of work to put it together, something like that. So I think for people listening, the big thing to understand is that making money online, it's a team sport, really. You know, it, you know, you need to find someone or a small group of people that you can partner up with, that you have to be comfortable working with them long term. You've got to find people that have got a similar mindset to yourself, or the alternative is to hire staff, you know, to outsource, and don't think that you can do it all on your own. That's a really important thing I want to get across. You know, if you're sat at home in your office, you know, on the kitchen table, it's just going to slow you down, and it just restricts you way, way, way too much. I mean, the other thing, and just going back to what you were saying, Terry, is how we actually got started. I mean, Jeremy can sort of give you a little bit more information on this, but Jeremy was running Surefire Wealth, and was, I would say, a regular customer of mine. I had the InfoClicks newsletter, and at that time, probably 2004-ish, I was sort of concentrating on branding me. You know, I was getting a lot of products out into the marketplace that had resell or master resell rights, basically to get my name out into the marketplace, to build my list and things like that. And I mean, that's a, you know, it's a whole different topic of conversation. But I was putting a lot of those products out into the marketplace, and during the Surefire Well site, what Jeremy was doing was putting those types of products together for his members, you know, and lots of those types of products for his members. So I suppose it was only natural that, you know, he started buying some of those things from me, because I was putting a lot out into the marketplace. And I guess he was getting good feedback from his members about the products, and that sort of got us talking more. And once we started talking, we sort of, you know, we worked on a couple of small joint ventures together. And Jeremy promoted, I think it was Niche Pack 2 and Niche Pack 3, and just sort of obliterated all the other JVs that I'd got in at the time then. So it becomes really hard not to take notice of somebody who's just sort of like walked your affiliate competitions. Knowing what a good site he had and how he looked after his members, I mean, it was pretty obvious. I mean, by that time I joined Surefire Wealth as well, and you could see that he had more products than anybody else. He'd got better quality products than everybody else, and you sort of look at how somebody's running the business, and you get a really good idea of who they are and what they do. I mean, there were a lot of sites at the time similar to Surefire Wealth, but with maybe a quarter of the content or quality of product. So I mean, it was clear that he wasn't just doing it just to make sort of easy money, if you will. And actually, that's what got us together on the MME marketing main event sites, because what, you know, Jeremy suggested, let's put a package together for Surefire Wealth members, and that's what eventually turned into MME One. I mean, Jeremy, do you want to fill people in on our working relationship?
Yeah, sure. Just to keep adding on to that. Simon and I started out on basically a customer, you know, relationship where, you know, I was buying products from him, and you know, he was checking out my sites, I was checking out his stuff, and then we started working more together on you know, affiliate joint venture relationships where I'd promote his stuff, you know, he'd promote my stuff, and then eventually we started working on projects together. As Simon mentioned, I initially wanted to put something together especially for Surefire Wealth, but then it just started rolling and getting bigger and bigger as we went, and got all these partners aboard and new products developed. And I mean, Simon is just cracking out products like every day. He's like, yeah, hey, check this out, I just made this, you know, and just rolled really quickly. So we decided, well, no, this is just too big just to allow for one, you know, certain small group of people. We had to get it out there, make it available to everybody. So that's what we did. We opened up, you know, the JV affiliate network with it, and started bringing on partners. And basically, like Simon said, we complement each other. You know, Simon's very creative. He's good at making products. He's a great copywriter. And, you know, I kind of help develop the sites and, you know, kind of the planning and long-term strategies. And we just put them together, and you know, we work really well. The original question about being, you know, not being actually together in the same office and being so far apart, I think it actually has a lot of benefits because you're both held accountable for your results. You know, you're not sitting in there, you know, BSing or wasting time or, you know, going out for drinks after work together and, you know, not being able to get up the next day or something. And so it's probably good we don't live next to each other. We'd never get anything done.
Which is true, because every time we have met, that's all basically we do.
It's probably good we're 6,000 miles apart because we never get any work done. But seriously, so, you know, by having, you know, virtual staff, virtual employees, virtual partners, you know, whatever, I think it's of real benefit because all you see is the results. You don't see what they're doing. It doesn't matter. As long as they produce results, you know, it works. And if you're not producing results, well then, you know, it's not going to work out. You know, when you get an email and says, hey, check this out, or hey, this is done, you know, or hey, look what I did, you know, that those are results, you know. So I think having a virtual team can really be a benefit. You know, there's no time wasted. There's no, you know, especially for a staff, it's, you know, a lot of people like to kind of look busy in the office, but they're actually not, you know, just because the boss is watching them, you know. But if you're virtual, there's nobody watching you, so it's up to you to get your stuff done. So I think it can be a real benefit, especially with an online business. And anybody can do this. If you find another business or a person or marketer or designer or programmer, copywriter, whatever, somebody who can complement you to your business. What you really don't want to find is somebody who's just like you. You know, if you're a copywriter, you don't want to have a partner who's also a copywriter. If you're a developer, you probably don't want to have a partner who's a developer, you know, because it could just cause, you know, maybe some clashes once in a while, or maybe disagreements, or maybe one person has one way of doing something and maybe it's not going to work out. But also, you're not going to grow quickly because you're going to have to hire other people to do things. So if you have a partner who's good at a lot of things you're not, and vice versa, together you now are much stronger. You know, and it can work with two people, three people, four. I mean, you can have a bigger group working together on projects, and you could have a dozen people if you wanted, really, if everybody knows what they're doing. So I think it's a really big benefit of having an online business to be able to do this. So, yeah, it's just my opinion on having virtual staff or partners, things like that. It's worked really well for us. I know it's worked for other people.
I think that's super. I think the big thing that I think everybody should be taking away from what you guys have just said is, with the joint venture partnership, you really want to find somebody who complements each other's skills. Like you said, Jeremy, if you've got two people together that are copywriters, really what's the point? You're doing the same thing. If you've got a copywriter and a marketer together, that makes more sense because you've got complementary skills. The other things I think are really the time savings, because you are accountable for your work, not just sitting there for your normal 8-hour workday and looking busy, but you have to actually sit there and do something. So you've got the productivity happening as well, and then putting together a team on a virtual basis so that you don't physically have to be sitting in the same workspace. All you have to really be doing is making sure that you're producing for your partner. And I think one of the big things with joint venture partnerships, especially with the partnership that you guys have, is whenever you have the partnership and you're both responsible, I think you probably feel, as I do with my partners, that you're accountable to that other person. So it's not just you sitting there, and if you get the thing done today, fine. If it just has to wait till tomorrow, no big deal. You're accountable to at least one other person. And if you've developed a team like you guys have, you're accountable to several people. It's kind of that little extra fire under your bum to keep yourself going and make sure that, yeah, today I've got to accomplish this so that I can send an email to Jeremy or send an email to Simon and say, hey, look at this, as opposed to an email that says, oh, well, you know, I didn't get it done today. I have to do it tomorrow. So I think that's some of the big key points that I think people should really be taking away from what you guys just mentioned. Now, before we go any further, I want to do a little bit of something very, very special. Normally on a teleconference call, people will wait till the end to give you a special bonus or something special about the call. What we're going to do is we're going to do it right now so that anybody can go and get this right now. And this is really, really exciting because it's one of Simon and Jeremy's brand new membership websites. And before I tell you what it is, I just printed off a short list of the benefits that you're going to get from this website, and then I'm going to tell you what the cost is. This website gives you, and I'm going to read these benefits just boom, 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 boom. This is the bullet points right off the website. You're going to learn how to design a membership website for maximum impact. You're going to learn how to launch your membership website like the pros, how to easily take advantage of expert knowledge, how to keep members coming back again and again, how to market your website for rapid growth, how to sell your memberships for huge profits, and you're going to learn the exact steps that you need to take to start your membership website. You're going to learn how much it really costs to build a million-dollar site. You're going to find out where to find the tools that you need to get started. You're going to find out how to involve other members and build communities very, very fast. You're going to find out how to harness word-of-mouth advertising and marketing for massive success, and you're going to get the subscription models that are going to profit you the most. Now, that's just a really short, really a little summary of what's in this website, and I'm going to probably blow you away when I tell you that these guys are giving all this information away for free. The membership website that these guys have set up is absolutely free. And what's going to happen when you go in, I'm going to give you a website address, URL, in just a minute where you can go in and actually get yourself this free membership. You're going to get all this stuff that I just mentioned, plus there's a whole bunch more stuff in there as well. What's going to happen, you sign up for free, you're going to get an email that basically gives you the a confirmation link that you click on that link. The next page you're going to see is an amazing, basically upgrade for the next level up, and I think it costs, if I'm not mistaken, it's like $50 or something, right guys?
Yep,
$47.49, yeah. Without even thinking about it, don't even bother reading the sales copy, just go and order it. It is absolutely phenomenal. It's going to make your website rock. So what you want to do is you want to go to the website address is millionairemembership.com, and I'm going to spell that for you. It's millionairemembership.com, millionairemembership.com, and you're going to get all that plus more. I'm not even going to go into all the details about it, but it is an absolutely amazing package. I've been a member in there for about 4 or 5 days. You guys just released it and let me in there. It's absolutely phenomenal. I can say this is a website that blows away just the free part of it. The free membership blows away some of the paid membership websites. So this is something you absolutely don't even wonder. Don't sit there wondering whether you should do it. You definitely should. Just go there, do it. Upgrade to the next level. It's like $47 or whatever. You're gonna love it. Absolutely guaranteed. Jeremy guarantees it, Simon guarantees it, and I guarantee it. So you got three personal guarantees that you're going to absolutely love this. But let's get back to you guys. You've really put together a phenomenal partnership, but what happened? How did you actually get online? Before you actually ended up getting on and doing the internet thing, where did you guys come from?
Yeah, well, my background, I guess, is it's been sales. I've always worked in sales and marketing, but it's been industrial and engineering sales and marketing when I first got started out, so it was a sales environment, but it was totally different from the online marketing environment, if you will. And I guess getting online was probably back in the late 1990s. I saw a growth in the sort of the internet marketing, the internet as a whole, and I had friends that had probably come out of college and that were working in IT companies. And while as a salesman, I was earning, you know, pretty good income. I did well as a salesman. Then I became a sales manager and then a national sales manager. Some of those guys, the salaries that they were earning were actually dwarfing mine. I mean, some of these guys were earning sort of hundreds of thousands of pounds a year. And, you know, I'd known them since they were sort of 4 or 5 years old and realised that they were no smarter than me. So, you know, what was the internet? I needed to know about it. What could I do? And basically I started reading about web design, search engine optimization. I mean, this was sort of, you know, 5-6 years ago, which doesn't seem a long time, but, you know, it's amazing the changes that have happened over that short period of time. And then I sort of got hooked into affiliate marketing. I started building my own sites. And this was while I was still working a 9-to-5 job. And what I ended up doing, I started, moonlighting. I was creating websites for some of my day job clients who didn't have websites, didn't have a clue what the internet was, but just knew that they had to have websites. I mean, that was the big thing back then. And because I knew them, I had pretty good relationships with a lot of my customers and clients, and I knew the marketplace because that was the area that I worked. I built sites for them that worked. You know, it was before the days of Flash. I mean, these were pretty basic things. But I started to get a lot of referrals. You know, it's like somebody knows somebody else and who did your website, or well, Simon did. And so I was getting an awful lot of people saying, can you do this? And obviously this was just a sideline. It was an evening and weekend thing for me. And a lot of these companies didn't, in addition to not having a website, they didn't have like sort of sales leaflets or brochures or even sales letters and basic things like that. So I started to do that as well. And over, a year or so, I mean, that basically spiraled. And I just got people saying, can you do a site for me? Can you do a sales brochure for me? And I just got work coming up to the ears. It was like a full-time job and then a full-time job again. I mean, but I got to a point where I was actually making as much money at doing that as I was working, 9 till 5. It was actually, the hours were a lot different from that. And I was doing a lot of travelling and, all those sort of things. And I'm just thinking, here I am. I'm working, like a demon. I can half this and make more money. So I decided to quit the 9-to-5 and set up my own company as a web design and marketing company. I mean, I certainly had a lot to learn, but I mean, I knew a lot more than the clients did. And, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king, as they say. but the problem was, I suppose, it was a salesman in me. I was probably a victim of my own success. I was constantly, on the lookout for new clients, but then having to, I got more clients than I could actually keep doing the work for. I outsourced some of the site design and the layout of brochures and things like that, but at that time, not knowing how to outsource properly and not knowing some of the things that I needed to know, I mean, it was pretty chaotic. I mean, I was working sort of 7 days a week, 14 hours a day, and I did that pretty much for 6 months straight. And, I was making a lot of money, but I was just literally burnt out. I was just frazzled. And I guess I'd started a second sideline with the internet marketing. I created a few products of my own. I was doing a little bit of affiliate marketing. And one of the first products that I had that was a big success in internet marketing for me was Magic Button. That was literally something I'd done for a web design customer. And what it was a floating DHTML layer. And I'll not bore people, with all the technical details of it. And if people have seen pop-up boxes on websites and unblockable pop-ups on websites, well, I actually did that, probably, I guess, January, February time of 2004 when I actually put that out into the internet marketing arena. So it was, going on now for sort of like 4 years ago. And that was an incredible success. I think it just hit at the right time. People were getting JavaScript pop-ups being blocked. This was something very different. And I mean, that software, very simple really to work it and to build it, I mean, went on to sell, you know, a few thousand copies for me. And so when that started to happen, I was matching, you know, the income that I was doing, you know, flogging myself to death, building all these websites and doing the sales letters and brochures in about a third of the time. So what I actually did again, I quit again, but this time I actually quit my own job, my own business, and became a full-time internet marketer. And really, I mean, I've been very lucky. I mean, one of the things that I tend to do is spend a lot of time looking where there's demand for products. And one of the things that I spotted, you know, there's a lot of, say, resale and master resale rights and products that, you know, that people could take and sell for search engine optimization, for traffic generation, for list building, all those things, all those sort of evergreen type products. I mean, the market was getting more and more saturated, and I could see that there was there would be a demand for niche products. I mean, I think at the time there was probably only sites like maybe Nicheology that were available for people that offered resellable content in niche markets, and I'd been very successful in some of those markets. I mean, I created collections of recipes, of gardening related things and things like that, and they'd sold very well for me, you know, low priced, big quantity products. So I thought, well, I can give people that same option to sort of jump out maybe a little bit out of the, you know, incestuous internet marketing area and get into other niches where there was just no competition. So that started Niche Power Pack, and I think that was one of the first niche packs that I did, and that was probably very early in 2005. I think it had about 20 products in it, and then the next one had sort of 50 in it, and the next one had like 150 in it. And I think it was probably Niche Power Pack 3, which I guess was probably April, May of 2005, that Jeremy and I had already started talking. And we'd done a couple of smaller things together, and I think Jeremy then became the number one affiliate on Niche Power Pack 3. So really, that's my history in a summary of what I've been doing online.
Excellent, excellent. What's your background and history, Jeremy?
Well, I'll just be brief here, but basically, my father had his own business. I kind of grew up around an entrepreneurial family. I just knew from a young age I didn't want to work for anybody else. I just knew that somehow. And, you know, when I got out of school and stuff, I did some traveling, and I ended up working for a couple of years for a company, and then I just decided, you know, it wasn't for me, because I just thought I could run the company better than the owner. So I left and started my own company over here in Japan. That was back in, like, 1997. So I haven't worked for anybody since then, and I don't plan on again. So basically, during that time, you know, when you start your own business, you know, it's just you have to do everything. It's hard, you know. And business success, it's a lot of determination and drive, but there's also a little luck involved sometimes, and timing, and sometimes who you know and things like that, and it all ties together. And the offline business did take off, and we ran it for 10 successful years, and we finally just decided to close it down this year, because it's just too much to run that along with our online business, which has just, you know, grown phenomenally over the last couple of years, and that's our main focus now, 100%. So while we had the offline business going, basically I would just try to learn everything I could. You know, I just read a lot, you know, a lot of stuff like Napoleon Hill or Robert Kiyosaki, or, you know, things by, you know, Bill Gates or Donald Trump, or just whoever was already successful or maybe had written something very good from a long time ago. And I like to read some of the older stuff, because, you know, a lot of stuff is more legit than some of the stuff nowadays. What you'll find is, if you've ever read The 16 Laws of Success by Napoleon Hill, everybody recommends Think and Grow Rich, but I would much rather recommend The 16 Laws of Success. Read every single volume It's quite deep. It's quite long. Might take you a while to get through them all, but it's much, much better. And if you look at any kind of self-help book out there nowadays, it's basically the same kind of philosophy or content that Napoleon Hill wrote almost 100 years ago, because he was surrounded, you know, by great-minded individuals, you know, such as Henry Ford, Andrew Carnegie, you know, Rockefeller, all these people that he had a chance to interact with and meet with. And that's another thing. If you ever have a chance, read books, read autobiographies by successful people from a long time ago. Very interesting. Not only can you pick up a lot of history, but you can pick up a lot of the mindset into business. And that's probably the most important thing when you're in a business, is the mindset. Because if you have the wrong mindset, you're probably going to have a hard time, or your business might fail. So you've got to have the right mindset. And, you know, you really have to switch off from being an employee and think like an entrepreneur. So a lot of it is thinking. So, you know, I've read a lot, I've watched a lot of training things, you know, DVDs, listened to a lot of audios, read tons of books over the last, you know, 15 years. And as well, I also study those who are more successful than I am right now. So, you know, if I was making, you know, $100 a month, I would study somebody who is making $1,000 a month. If I was making $1,000 a month, I would study somebody who's making $10, and so on. You know, if you're doing $1 million a day, study somebody who's doing $1 billion a year. You know, you want to study people who are bigger than you, and you want to strive to, you know, improve yourself. So that's just kind of what I do on a daily basis. And I just never stop learning or trying new things or, you know, whatever. If I find an interview or something that looks really good, you know, I'll listen to it. I'll take some time and listen to it. Or if I find a book, you know, I usually have a couple books every month that I read, and just constantly trying to absorb new material and just try to improve the business. So that's kind of how my philosophy on entrepreneurship is. And I think anybody listening, the mindset's really important. You know, it's not just work hard and, you know, blood, sweat, and tears. That's also involved, but you got to have the right mindset. The online dabbling kind of started back in, you know, 98, 99, when we got our first computer, and finally figured out what email is and all that stuff is, you know. But it just kind of progressed. I had tried things such as network marketing and those kind of things back in the 90s over here and in the States and things like that. So while they didn't work out, I did learn a lot about people skills, how marketing works, how you know, downlines and recurring income and all that kind of stuff kind of ties in. But, you know, I didn't really like some of the philosophies in that, and a lot of the people at top were to me, they seemed kind of pushy. I just didn't like that, so I got out of that. But back in like 2001, 2002, kind of that time frame, when the internet was still, you know, was growing, you know, very big, and online business was all the rage, and there were a lot of things out there, you know, technology. I'm very fascinated by technology, so if I found some kind of new technology, I would just study it. I'd sign up for an account, become a member of whatever, buy a software, and just figure out how the heck it worked. And I found it very interesting. And you know, I spent a lot of money the first couple of years online. You know, a couple opportunity so-called programs that, you know, of course, you know, were just hype and lies. Didn't work out, so lots of money. A lot of other things was money well spent, such as joining membership sites, buying software, studying how things work, just kind of for research purposes, just to learn my way around. So a lot of money was spent just learning. So even if I lost money, I look on it as a learning experience, and that's fine. You know, I learned something from it. And eventually I started working ISO Register back in like 2003. I hooked up with a part. I started out as a customer, actually, and then I just kind of made a lot of suggestions to the owner how to improve his business, and he kind of brought me on as a partner and worked with him for a couple of years. And I really got to learn a lot more in-depth about how the inside, you know, kind of behind-the-scenes things work with membership sites, you know, and it was really good because we built membership sites from scratch, from nothing, just from taking an idea and then putting that idea on paper, writing it down, getting it out, telling our, you know, our programmers what we wanted to do, and they made it come to life, you know, and then testing it and then launching it and you know, selling a product or a service. And it was very interesting, and it was very good to learn that process, because once you know that process, you can just keep launching site after site after site and get better at it each time, get better and faster, you know. So it was a good experience for me. And basically went on my own, started my own company in 2005, Surefire Wealth Incorporated and SurefireWealth.com. And things just progressed from there. As Simon said, we hooked up, and the rest is history.
That's very, very cool. I think one of the really key aspects that you just touched on, Jeremy, is the learning and the mindset. You really have to keep learning as much as you can, read books, listen to interviews, listen to audios, watch DVD trainings, listen to CDs, whatever it is. Keep going, keep learning every single day. Keep learning and learning and learning, and get that mindset. Basically, set your mindset. Set it appropriately so that you're thinking like an entrepreneur, you're thinking like a business person, as opposed to thinking like an employee, where you really look at a linear earning potential, where you think, well, if I'm working for an hour, then it's going to make me $50 or $100 or whatever. You get past that point into the entrepreneurial mindset. And I think that really, I think it really puts you in the right mindset to be able to go to the next stage where you guys got, really in a 3-year period together. You've put together multi-million dollar partnerships, and you've got products, of course, like we talked about, on your own. But I think the biggest one, very, very exciting, was $1.7 million in 10 days, which was, like we said, was MME 3, or Marketing Main Event 3. And I just evaluating it and watching you guys and seeing how things rolled out, there's basically what I can make of it anyway. There's really kind of 4 steps. You've gone through really a brainstorming and planning process, then into a pre-launch system. You've launched the product or the site, and then you go into a post-launch. So what I'd like to do is really kind of cover each of those areas and see what happens really behind the scenes, kind of peel back the layers of the onion and see what happens in every single process as you guys go through it. So if we start off with the brainstorming and planning, how did things start there? How do you start brainstorming and planning for, I guess MME3 is probably an easier one, because MME1 would be the main starting point, but how do you start brainstorming for something like this?
Yeah, well, I suppose in a way, it did. I mean, obviously, just to correct you there, Terry, it was 1.7 in 7 days.
7 days.
The 3 days at the end were too close. No, but I mean, in seriousness, I mean, one of the things that we have on our side is good knowledge of the marketplace that we're in. That's critical. I mean, Jeremy and I spoke to people that have lost hundreds of thousands of dollars marketing and promoting into markets that they weren't familiar with. You know, in people that have been incredibly successful in their own business, in their own markets, gone somewhere where they don't know the market, and they've hired knowledge, and it's just not worked. So I think that's one thing that's been on our side, is that we have a good knowledge of the marketplace. Because in reality, we're our own customers. I mean, just if you're your own customer, I think that it gets you 50% of the way through anything that you need to brainstorm, because you know intrinsically what the market wants. You know, I sell products online. Jeremy sells products online. We know what the problems are. You know, we know what the issues are that affect the people that are in our marketplace. You know, I know if something's not working for me, or if there's something that I need for my business and it isn't out there, or there's something out there that it's not good enough, or it just doesn't work, there's a very, very good chance that there's going to be big demand for it. You know, what we do isn't rocket science. What we do is sell information or physical products online, or we use the internet to promote offline products. I mean, basically, that's all there is to it. And if something isn't working for me, I know it's not working for thousands of other people out there. So, I mean, that's a great start, know the marketplace. But I think, I'm sure Jeremy would agree, just that on its own, that intuition, while it's valuable, just relying on that totally is risky. You know, the key thing is, and you'll hear this so many times, and it's because it's so true, listen to your customers. You know, right off the back of MME1, we ran a big survey, and I think it was about 3,500 people took part in that survey, and all those people were our subscribers and members that were doing the same thing as us. They were selling products online, and we asked them to let us know how we could help them. You know, what was it that they didn't have in their business? What was it they needed? What areas did they want to learn on? You know, how much money were they making? How much money did they want to make? What caused them the biggest problems? We asked all those sorts of questions, and we the first part of the survey was sort of you know, drop down box A, B, C, D, or E. And the second part was an open-ended question. Tell us what you want. You know, if you could have anything, what would it be? And we literally sat down for nearly a month and read through all of those. And you pick up themes and trends going through all those things. And I don't think anybody at that time that I was aware of had done a survey in our sort of niche of internet marketing that got such a great response. So for us, that was like gold dust. I mean, the result was ME2. So listen to your customers, listen to the marketplace, you know, go to forums, see what people are complaining about, find problems, try and be the person that provides the solutions to those problems. And that's a great way to start the brainstorming off. But then going back to the not working on your own, working with a partner, you know, I mean, Jeremy and I will get on Skype and I'll be, Jeremy, I've got a great idea. Wouldn't it be great if? And Jeremy will either go, wow, that's a great idea, or, you know, geez, Simon, that's crap. and I go away sort of, you know, with my tail tucked between my legs, feeling a little bit sorry for myself. And then the day afterwards, I think, you know, he's right. But then what Jeremy does, he'll say, but if you were, you know, if you were whiz-bang, what's it could do this, this, and this, it'd be even better. So we knock ideas between each other, backwards and forwards. And ultimately, it's a great way of brainstorming rather than sitting there with a pencil and a notepad and just sort of thinking up ideas on your own. You know, bounce ideas off other people, but I think you've got to bounce ideas off people that know the marketplace. I mean, sometimes I say things to my wife and I'll say, you know, what do you think of this? And I just get a blank look. So I think you've got to talk to people that are in the marketplace, you know, talk to your customers. And if you have a business partner, speak to those people and bounce ideas around. I mean, when it came to MME3, we decided very early on the best thing we could give our customers and the people that had bought from us previously and our subscribers was the system that we'd actually used to run MME1 and MME2 and that Jeremy was using to power SurefireWealth.com. I mean, if you think about it, what better thing could we have done? I mean, that software alone in 6 months had made us, in the previous MME, it made us $750,000. So it was just logical for us that what we had to do was give the software that we were using ourselves, because it was the best tool that we had. You know, we could go away and we could make, you know, AdSense site generators and God knows what, but it wouldn't have been the best thing that we could give. And something else that I've learned over the years, and I know a lot of marketers who wouldn't have dreamt of giving away the sort of, you know, the prize technology or the secret software, shall we say, but we knew it was the best thing that we could offer, and we did it, and that brought in another $1.7 million a year later. So there's, you know, the big payoff for us was by sharing it and giving great value back. And the problem that we had, though, with that software was that it was custom built for the application that we used it for. You know, it ran Jeremy's business and it ran those sites. But we realized that, you know, not everybody would want to do what we did. You know, people needed more flexibility. It had to have more flexibility and more control. Unfortunately, I mean, I bought software and membership style management systems in the past, and they just aren't flexible enough, you know. So what we had to do was get the software so it was in a much more developed stage, so people could use it for different things, and it had that flexibility built in rather than people having to sort of take it apart or not being able to do things. And then while we were doing that, it gave Jeremy and I the you know, we basically, it was like two kids opening the front door of a sweet shop, because we have a very good programming team behind us to start off with. So I mean, that's the bonus. But what we did, we sat down and we brainstormed how we could take what was there and make it fantastic. I mean, it's even, I mean, MemberSpeed is now, 6 months down the line, is a lot better than it was in June. You know, in 6 months' time again, it'll be better still, and in 6 months' time, it'll be better still. And that's because we listen to what people want. You know, we have a forum on the MemberSpeed site. We've recently been polling members to find out what plugins that they want for future releases. We have a suggestion box built right into the software. You know, if you would like, you know, to submit an idea, and it comes into a control panel in our site, and we get to read through all those and see what things that people want, and then Jeremy and I will discuss them. We'll discuss them with our programming team, and that's how it works. I mean, it's a joint effort. I mean, but I think that's the big thing. The two big things I would say on that is bounce ideas around with business partners and groups of marketers that you have that you put together, and ask your customers what they want. And I think if you ask people what they want, they'll tell you quite willingly, you know, and learn from that.
Excellent. Now, what's your perspective on that, Jeremy, from the brainstorming and planning perspective?
Okay, so only brainstorming right now? Planning?
Brainstorming and planning, yep.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of what Simon said, just to, you know, double that and a few other things. The planning of MME3 was, as Simon mentioned, done like at least a year in advance. You know, to have a big project like that, it just didn't happen overnight. A lot of people involved, a lot of planning, you know, a lot of changes as we went along. And, you know, with any planning thing, you have to be flexible. I think that's the key. When you're in the planning stages and in the pre-launch stages, be very flexible. Be prepared for anything that can come up. You know, maybe a problem happens, maybe something happens, but also positive things, like maybe you have a new idea and you implement it. You know, for example, during the building of the development of the software, Simon and I together, we were talking about different things we could do. And while we knew we wanted some products in there available for people to download and resell, we also didn't want to have another MME2 or MME1. We wanted it to be different and unique. You know what I mean? MME1 was basically a lot of products, you know, and joint venture contributions, which were a lot of other membership site passes, things like that, and we brought it all together. MME2, we built on that, and we added things such as the joint venture zone, the member-to-member offer zone, a few other things. So MME3, we wanted it to be just so mind-blowing that it's just unbelievable for the price. And while we were thinking of different things we could do, we'd had this idea to interview people and sell the products. You know, a lot of people do that. But we wanted it to be a little different and better. So what we decided to do was the Mastermind series, which is available for all MME3 members. And while we were developing the software, we would just basically, we contacted a lot of different people that we kind of wanted to interview, or maybe they had done something in the industry that we thought other people could learn from. And we basically interviewed them on Skype, recorded it, had transcripts made, and had squeeze pages made and sales pages made and everything, and then also sample audios. And we made an entire product line out of these interviews. There were 10 interviews in total. And then what we did was we took bite-sized tips out of those and used them during the pre-launch, because we really wanted to give away as much content as we could during the pre-launch. I think this is really important. When you're planning your launch, you need to move the free line over. You know, you need to provide some kind of value or something, some reason for people to get interested in, you know, in your product or service during your pre-launch. The whole purpose of a pre-launch is to get attention. That's it. And a good market to study is the movie industry and the recording industry. If you look at how they launch new CDs, or I guess, you know, downloadable music now, but and new movies, the pre-launches start several months in advance, sometimes even further, you know. And, you know, they're all over the place. There's billboards, there's advertisements, there's radio plugs, there's TV commercials, you know, there's all kinds of stuff. And every time you go to a movie, what do you see? You see previews of upcoming movies, right? So when you go to a movie, you already know what you're going to see, right? You've already planned what you're going to watch. It's not like you go to a movie theater and say, I wonder what I'm going to watch today. I mean, I guess some people do, but usually it's like, hey, there's a good movie there, I'm going to go see it, because they saw the previews and things like that. So what you want to do is get people ready to not even read your sales page, basically. Just go on launch day. Not even read your sales page. Sorry, Simon, I know that might offend you, but just click the order button and order.
You know, that killed me. I spent 3 weeks writing the sales letter and the first order, and I actually read it, you know, with a timer. It took 35 minutes from top to bottom to read that sales letter, and the first order started coming in about 35 seconds after we'd launched it. And while that was nice, I was sort of, you know, banging my head against a brick wall. We could have just put an order button on the page, and I think that would have been nice.
Well, people have done that. I mean, if you have a really good pre-launch, you can basically just put up an order button, and people will go buy it. You do need good sales copy, too, but... you know, so during the planning stages, plan how you can somehow provide value to everybody out there who's in your target. You know, some kind of value or content to get attention, basically. I mean, you can give away free reports, free books, movies, you know, audios, all kinds of stuff. But it's got to be good stuff. I mean, you can't just give away a free report that's 5 pages long is basically a little sales page for your product. That's no good. You've got to give actual solid content. So that was one thing we did during the planning, was how can we give away, you know, free content? How can we do this? So we also made a free report that we released. We made preview movies. Simon made he got on Camtasia, and, you know, we were thinking, well, what else can we give away? We're like, well, how about show people what our software can do? So Simon hopped on Camtasia and made some really cool videos about what it can do. And I think that was a big factor in a lot of people's decisions, because they saw these videos and they're like, wow, look, it can do this and this and this. Well, I want to buy it, you know. And the goal of that was to show people what it can do. The goal of the Mastermind series audios releasing, you know, bite-sized tips, was not so much to get them interested in buying the audio series, but more the mindset. We wanted to show people, you know, kind of some mindset and some helpful content for people, because we didn't want people who are not entrepreneurs to buy MME3. We wanted serious people who are going to buy this and use it, you know, use the software for the business, use the products for the business, and actually be serious about it. So we wanted to help people with the mindset, and that was the whole goal of that series, because all the customers got the entire series, which, you know, each audio interview was like anywhere from an hour to 2 hours long, and there's 10 of them in there, and just solid content, you know, no selling at all in those audios, solid content for people to listen to.